together. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. I'll be reading from the NIV version, beginning of verse 36. This is Jesus talking about the time when he will return to keep all his promises. So let's stand together in honor of God's word. Matthew 24, beginning at verse 36. This is the word of the Lord. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And this is God's word. You can be seated. One thing about this passage, I'm always reminded that when I was a kid, this story was interpreted to me in a very different way. The idea of who was taken and who was left behind somehow got totally flip-flopped from what Jesus actually says here. There was this whole series of books when I first started in ministry called Left Behind, and it was about the people getting left behind being the ones who were missing out on what God was doing. But Jesus clearly says the flood came and took away into judgment those who were not ready for God. And so clearly then the ones who are taken here are the ones who are taken into judgment. And we know that Jesus said the meek will inherit the earth, right? So they are left behind to inherit what God has for them, and the New Jerusalem comes down. That's just a little thing that gets spun around in teaching sometimes in a way I've never really understood since I've seriously studied the Bible. But Advent is about anticipating that that moment is going to come. Now, we should think about that every day, and hopefully as Christians we do. We learn how to live with that hope, knowing that Jesus is coming back, that he's bringing the fullness of his kingdom, that he's restoring things to how he intended them to be, and that can give us hope in good times and in bad. When things are going really, really well, we don't get a little too delirious or drunk on the pride of life, thinking this is all there is, because we know there's more to come, right? And that it's far better than any earthly blessing we will experience now. But also when things are tough, when it seems like maybe even everyone is against us, Jesus said sometimes it's going to seem like even our own family is against us. In those times, we know that the kingdom is coming, and it's going to get better. Jesus is coming, and we should look expectantly for him. Well, and then we have this reality that we live with in our day and age, where a lot of this gets somewhat watered down, but the experience is still kind of there for people in our culture. For a lot of people growing up, did you do this at your house? Did you get one of those Advent calendars? Do you know what I'm talking about? And there are the boring kind, you know, but then there's the awesome kind, right? And you know what I mean, right? The awesome kind, when you open the door, there's chocolate inside, right? And how many of you as a kid experienced that? Opening each day, finding that treat, keeping careful track of how those days were counting down. Now, hopefully you were a super spiritual kid, and the only thing you were counting down was the chance to worship Jesus in a special way on his birthday. But I have a hunch that perhaps you were excited about something else that was coming too, right? Can we get some jingle bells? Just kidding. Santa and his sleigh was coming, and we were looking forward to gifts, and there was lots of curiosity going on. There were theories about where these gifts came from. Do you know what I'm talking about, right? Was it really Santa? Was it Mom and Dad? Were they out shopping? Did you see the bags when they came in the door? What did it look like? Is that shaped like the box of the thing that I'm asking for? All of these things filled the questions, lots of notes taken, lots of anticipation of Christmas to come. And a clear thought that you didn't want to miss anything because it would be exciting and good. So I hope you keep some traditions alive in your family. While this story may not be relatable for all of us, most of us can relate to a time when we were looking forward to something. A wedding day, the birth of a baby, retirement, the first day of a new job you were excited about. Maybe a raise that you heard was coming and you're wondering if it's ever going to come through on your check. Whatever it might be, we know what it is to watch with extreme anticipation and to be waiting for something good to come. Our text today is about a type of waiting and watching, about a never losing focus on what we should have our eyes on, which is the return of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Now, sometimes we read this text with a baggage of fear. I don't know how these passages were preached when you were growing up, but maybe they had you scared to death that this was going to come and it was going to get you, right? You were going to be found not ready. Well, there's some validity to that. I don't want to just hose all that down and say it doesn't matter and it doesn't have a place in our lives. We should think about the future and what that means for how we're living today. But there is a sign of caution here to not get distracted, to stay the course. But the message overwhelmingly is not to be one of fear. It's ultimately to be one of hope. Now, hope is not an easy thing to come up with. And we say the word all the time, well, I hope this works out, or I hope this happens, or I'm hoping for this. But sometimes we mean that just almost like a faint wish, right? And something that we don't even really think is going to happen. But Christian hope is deeper than that. And it's not easy to hold on to. And that's why Jesus is talking about focus in our daily spiritual lives. The hope is this, the ultimate hope, that God keeps his promises. Amen? I'm going to say that again. We hope ultimately that God keeps his promises. We hope in that. That Christ is going to return. That's a powerful promise. And that if we stay the course, if we're watchful and ready, we will see this hope fulfilled and enjoy all the incredible blessings and benefits of the second coming of Jesus. But as Jesus was speaking to his followers, now getting closer to the time when he was going to be going to the cross and back to heaven, Jesus knew that people get distracted by everyday life because that's what was going on even in his time. This text reveals a distractedness that could consume God's people. Jesus is warning his hearers. And having those words written down and recorded, Matthew is now sharing it with the church of his generation. Amen? He wants the church in that generation to be reminded again of the warning that Jesus came when he was on earth. So that's what's beautiful about having the New Testament. So we see how the church remembered Jesus, and it helps us now to understand how we can follow suit. This morning, the Gospel of Matthew has an overarching theme about the good news of Jesus going forward to the whole world. It happens even in the very beginning with the story of his birth, people coming from other parts of the world and going back to share the good news. And this theme is revealed in the Great Commission at the end of the book. So let's peek ahead to the end and see that. Matthew 28:19. Let's read this together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so this is undergirding everything that Jesus was teaching. And this hope is not just to make us feel better and have kind of a warm glow on Sunday afternoons. This hope is to guide all of our activity and to let us ignore the things that really don't matter and focus on the things that do matter now and forever. And that's making disciples, and we have to become disciples before we can do that. Well, we also see this theme illustrated throughout this chapter, the parable of the sheep and the goats that's coming up actually in the next chapter in 25, 31 through 46, where we learn that the call of those following Jesus Christ is to live a life lived in love and compassion for those around us. So there's concern for this world, even as we're anticipating the new world that is to come. Jesus called his people to join the mission of God in the world. And let me just say this simply, distracted disciples don't change the world. Distracted disciples may get some prayers in at the end of the day, may have managed to emotionally survive at work, may put up with and tolerate their difficult friends and neighbors, but they're not changing the world if they're not living with focus. And this chapter gives us several examples of this warning. It's not just in one story. So clearly, Matthew wants us to understand that God wants us to live with focus. Here we have a series of stories. The 10 bridesmaids. Are you familiar with that one? The ones who are supposed to be ready for the bridegroom and they aren't already. And we have the parable of the talents, where everyone has been given and blessed with something to invest and work with their lives, and some do and see a great return, and it's wonderful and blessed for all, and some just sort of bury it in the backyard and say, well, I didn't want to lose it. And the king said, well, couldn't you have at least put it in the bank and make a little interest before I came back? And then the story of the sheep and the goats that I remembered that reminds us that laziness, worry, and lack of compassion leave us unprepared for Jesus' return. When we're not engaged in living in the ways that Jesus taught us to live, we're not really in sync with the kingdom. And so we find ourselves hoping for things, but not necessarily the things that God wants to bring into our lives. Amen? And that leads to disappointment, doesn't it? But it can be a kind of a self-inflicted disappointment, and we can miss the good things God is ushering in our lives. Well, in these stories, people were caught off guard because they forgot about God. They weren't paying attention to the signs around them that were pointing them toward salvation and the things they rightfully should have been hoping for. Instead, they were focused on other things. And then we have the story of Noah referenced as well in verse 38 and 39. And the issue here is not that the people were marrying, eating, and drinking. That's normal human activities, right? The issue was that they allowed those things that are just normal things that are part of our lives, just not the thing we're supposed to be living for above all else. They allowed those things to distract them from the fact that there was destruction or danger on its way, and they needed to prepare. And ultimately, that an opportunity for hope and salvation was available to them, a hope that went beyond these daily activities. And so the clear message is, it's costly to ignore our need for God. And it's costly to ignore our coming moment of judgment or deliverance. It doesn't mean we need to live in fear, as I've already said this morning. We just need to live with an awareness of this and let it guide the way that we're living now. We will miss out. People have FOMO nowadays, right? Fear of missing out. Have you heard about FOMO, right? It mostly comes from Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and seeing all these fake pictures that were take number 37 of trying to make something look perfect, and you think that your life is terrible and everybody else is just living it up, you know? Well, if we're going to have a fear of missing out, we should fear missing out on the ultimate blessings that God has for us in the return of Jesus. So we have to realize that we are also distracted people. Is that true this morning? Maybe at least to a certain extent. While we may know that Christ is coming, if someone asked us that question, we would say yes in answer to the question, is he coming again? But does that consume our thoughts and the way that we live, or do we allow other things to consume our time? Sometimes we forget our call to compassion and love because of these other distractions of daily life that come in. This time of year, we can look at obvious distractions in our lives. Busyness is a problem throughout the year, but especially between now and December 25th, people go crazy, getting way too busy with a flurry and scurry of activities. Materialism is an issue. Santa Claus, St. Nicholas originally was a leader in the church who wanted to help poor children who put fruit in their basket because they had nothing to eat, right? I mean, we're talking about that's a long way from, you know, a guy on a sled bringing you a new gaming system, right? So we have drifted a bit from the purpose of what St. Nicholas was really about. Now, that's not to say we don't need things or that things cannot bless us in our lives. We can use things to further the mission of God, right? But we can also let them use us and abuse us or keep us in debt or keep us distracted and worrying about things we just wouldn't have even known about if we hadn't have been staring at Instagram. Also, there is this problem of worrying about keeping up appearances. The way we or our homes look to others, it can become a serious distraction in our lives. And this can be a fine line. I mean, we do have to take care of things, right? We do want to be good neighbors. We don't want to be that neighbor that never mows the lawn, right? But at the same time, how far do we go? And does our home become an idol? Not to the point of taking on, again, incredible debt or taking an undue pride of life and how we're living and presenting ourselves. And I'll say this, even family can be a distraction. Even though family is really, really good and a blessing from God, and we should love our family sacrificially. But, much like in the time of Noah, we can put family on a pedestal that gets in the way of serving God. They weren't wrong for getting married and celebrating. We aren't wrong for spending time with family. But sometimes even good things like our family can become the focus of the season instead of Jesus and the miracle of his arrival. Jesus was God who became a human being. Amen? That is an incredible miracle, born as a baby. Everybody's all excited. If you don't subscribe to Disney Plus, you won't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just going to say two words, Baby Yoda, right? How many of you heard of Baby Yoda, at least in the media, right? Everyone's just enthralled with a cute little junior version of Beta. We don't know if he's a clone or if it's a child of Yoda. There's nothing, we don't know that yet in this storyline, but everyone wants that toy for Christmas, Baby Yoda. But there was another baby, so much more miraculous. So much more in danger, with so much at stake for his safety and arrival in the world. And that's worthy of filling us with wonder above and beyond the other stories that are around us. So there are a myriad of things that can distract us from looking to Christ. But thankfully, there are some ways that we can keep our focus. Amen? So Jesus pointed the way to spiritual focus. In verse 42, he made it very plain. And let's read this together. Therefore, I didn't hear you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. All right? So that's pretty simple. Keep watch. Keep looking out. Like some old guy with a shotgun on his porch. No, I'm just kidding. But just sit there and keep watch in your life. In other words, look for signs that are coming. Look past the bad news of today's 24-hour news cycle that seems like the world's coming to end over what's going on in Congress. And let's look beyond that to see that the whole world is in a mess and only Jesus can fully get us out of it. Amen? And look ahead to his arrival and knowing that whatever solutions we agree to try for now, they're not going to do for us what Jesus is going to do for us. So we don't put too much hope in the earthly plans, even though we give ourselves to serving and blessing and making a difference. There's a difference between working hard to bless others and help this world to be a better place and putting our hope in this world. Verse 44, he says also, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. So I don't know why these Bible teachers keep popping up on cable TV telling you that when Jesus is going to return. This happens every few years, right? It's going to be the blood moon, or it's going to be at Advent, or it's going to be at this time or other time. Jesus said clearly, it'll be when you're not expecting him, right? So just don't fall into that trap. It leads to chaos trying to pick the day. Live every day as if it's today, and then move on with living out in the kingdom of God. So Advent, then, is a season for regaining our focus. And that's why we have the books. That's why we have the study. That's why we have the beautiful lights. And didn't the ladies and gentlemen, whoever helped, didn't they do a beautiful job? I mean, this is like mind-blowing what it looks like. Let's thank them for their work. And it's a reminder to us that it's very special, right? That Jesus is coming, and there's so much to remember and so much to look forward to. So let's keep those reminders in our lives. It might feel like an odd text for Advent to be thinking about the second coming, but that's the purpose of the first coming, to set the stage. So this morning, what distractions do you need to remove from your life to regain your focus on Christ? Just think about that for just a moment. Maybe there's at least one distraction that you could eliminate that would make all the difference. Then secondly, what do you need to add to your life to regain focus on Christ? Remove one thing, replace it with another. Amen? Don't just leave an empty room for something else to fill in. That isn't that important. But in the place of the thing that goes, bring in a new discipline, a new time of prayer, a new time of committing to reading the Word, a more time serving others, or just being with other Christians who will lift you up rather than drag you down. Those of us who anticipate the return of Christ are hopeful, even when things seem to be going poorly. The fear in this text is for anyone who is intentionally not living with readiness for Christ's return. If you're pushing it off to the margins because you don't want to think about it and you don't want to do the things God's asking you to do, then that's not going to lead to the right kind of preparation. But the words of these passages are very hopeful for anyone who is saying, yes, Lord Jesus, come. Yes, Lord Jesus, resolve the things that need to be resolved in my life. Yes, Lord, untie the knots I don't know how to untie. Yes, Lord, deliver our family from the things that hold us back. Yes, Lord, help me to break through in serving for you. Lord, bring your kingdom and let it come. Then it's nothing but good news that Jesus is coming again. Amen. This morning, are you among those who trust the Lord and look to him every single day for guidance? Are you able to anticipate with hope his coming again? I hope that you are. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Lord, we're going to come to your table in just a moment. We're going to remember your broken body and your shed blood for us on the cross. We're also going to remember that you promised that as we shared this meal, one day we would eat and drink it in the fullness of your kingdom when you come again. So this morning, help us to examine our hearts. If there's anything between us and you, may we confess it to you and make things right. If we need to make something right with something else, Lord, help us to do that as well. But Father, most of all, may we focus on your forgiveness, on your peace and your restoration, on your power to change our lives, on your big plans to change the world, to heal every broken heart, to wipe away every tear, to come and set up a kingdom that will be full of light and life forevermore. May it capture our imaginations, and may it fill us with hope and purpose, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're reminded in God's word